So we're going to go to Ephesians. Chapter 5. So I'm going to kind of do a little bit of a repeat of what I did Tuesday night, not verbatim or word for word, but I'm going to talk about how we are to love one another. Tuesday night I taught about walking in love. To walk in love is one of the great privileges in living a godly life, as well as a dynamic life. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." And the word followers is imitators. And we know that God is love, right? So if he's love and he is loving and we're to imitate him, that's one of the things we are to do. We are to love. We're to love with his love. And we are to love one another. Verse 2, it says, and's what? Conjunction, right? It continues the thought. So we're to be followers of God or imitators of God and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So now we are to walk in love as Christ loved us. And he gave himself as an offering and a sacrifice. Well, Jesus Christ gave his life and died, but God asks us to be living sacrifices. So we can give our lives in our living, but we don't have to do it in death, which is nice. We don't have to worry about that. But that's what he wants us to do. We're to walk in love as Jesus Christ walked. And, you know, you read the Gospels and you see the things that Jesus Christ did. And Jesus Christ was selfless. He never put himself first. He put God first. And when he put God first, he took care of people. He blessed people. He healed people. He loved people. He never turned anybody down who really wanted help, who wanted deliverance, who needed healing. You know, even when John the Baptist died and he took his disciples and went off to be by themselves, the people followed him. And instead of chasing him away, it says that he taught the word and he healed many people. And then he fed the 4,000. He, you know, he also was a great caterer. So let's go to John chapter 15. And God's word really speaks about how we are to be with one another in the body of Christ. And Jesus Christ spoke about it to his disciples. In John 15, verse 9, it says, "As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love." So, you know, here Jesus Christ says it pretty plainly. God loved him, so he loved us. And then he says, we are to continue in that love. "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in love." So part of loving Jesus Christ and God is abiding by or living in his commandments, his word. You know, that particular or specific words that are addressed to us, especially. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you." And, you know, here he's talking to his disciples, but, you know, he had many disciples, and then some of them, you know, he would teach, but then the 12, he taught even more, and then Peter, James, and John, he spent even more time with. So the desire in the heart and the desire to know governed how much he taught people. You know, and of course, the masses he taught in parables, because a lot of them just were there to, you know, oh, I was there, I saw that, but they didn't really commit their lives to anything. They, you know, at one point, some of them even walked away and rejected him more than once. So, let's see. Verse 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. And so Jesus Christ commanded his disciples and apostles that they were to love one another, just as he loved them. What a great thing. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. And everybody knows about chapter 12. It's the renewed mind section. Of course, in verse 1, it talks about how we are to be living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God. But in chapter 12, verse 9, it says, let love be without dissimulation or hypocrisy. Hypocrisy means a false face. You know what a hypocrite is, right? Mm-hmm. A hypocrite is somebody that says one thing and does pretty much the opposite. I think if you look hypocrite up in the dictionary, they'll have a picture of a politician. Yeah. Yeah. That's terrible. Okay. It's true. So it says, let love be without hypocrisy. You know, you're sincere in what you say, you're truthful in what you say, and your love is, you know, you mean it. You're true in that love. You're honest in that love. And it says, abhor that which is evil. Abhor means, you know, you're repulsed by evil. You don't want to be part of evil. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. The word cleave is a really interesting word. You know what a cleaver is, right? A cleaver is it's almost like an axe. It's a sharp knife with a big blade, and you chop and you cut things in two. But also the word cleave means to be glued to or adhere to. And here that's what it's talking about. It means to hold fast or be adhered to good. You know, and what is good? Well, God's word is good. What God communicates to us is good. and then it says, not slothful in business. Okay, and what's the context here? The context is in chapter 12, renewing your mind, serving God, serving the body of Christ. So when it says, not slothful in business, the word slothful, you know what a sloth is? It's the slowest animal on the face of the earth. They live in, what kind of trees? I forget. Eucalyptus. Yeah. And basically all they do is they hang out in these trees and they eat eucalyptus leaves. They procreate and, you know, they go to the bathroom and that's about it. And they're very, very, they live in super slow motion. That's what they do. They live in the, so when you talk about somebody being slothful, it means, you know, they don't really have a great purpose in life. They just are slow in everything they do and no energy and, you know, so on and so forth. So it says, be not slothful in business, but it's the business of living in the body of Christ, in functioning in the body of Christ, in your renewed mind walk. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, or, you know, fervent means to be passionate in spirit or spiritual things, serving the Lord. And that's, you know, what the business is, serving the Lord. That's what it's talking about. And serving the Lord, part of that is how you function within the body of Christ, because in the verses before, starting with verse 4, it talks about how we are members of one body and we don't all have the same office or function, but, you know, some of us are good at mercy, some of us are good at sharing, some of us are good at exhorting, and so on and so forth. So that's what it's talking about there. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 1. So So 1 Corinthians is what kind of epistle? A reproof epistle, right? Romans is a doctrinal epistle, and in chapter 12, which is part of the practical aspect, it's talking about how we are to function within the body of Christ, not be slothful in our spiritual walk serving the Lord. And then Corinthians is a reproof epistle. So he's telling the Corinthians what they're not doing right. Okay? And in verse 10, it says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no division among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." So what's it talking about here? He's saying, you know, you're not to have divisions. You're not to be split up. You're supposed to be thinking and speaking the same things. That doesn't mean we're robots, does it? But because in Romans 10, it says we all have different functions. And we know from the word that we're all unique in our abilities and in our lives. But we are to hold fast to God's word. So when we speak to each other, it's with, you know, the love of God in our hearts. And it's according to the truth of God's word. Right? That's what he's talking about here when he says, be of the same mind and of the same judgment. Same judgment means the same opinion. Well, my opinion about everything is based on what I know of the word. Right? That's the way it's supposed to be. Then it says, "For it hath been declared unto you, unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there were contentions among you." And what does that mean? It means there were strifes, right? There were arguments. There were difficulties. So, in the working translation of verse 10, Walter Cummins translates, "But that you be fully equipped with the same mind and with the same opinion." And the interesting, the word "fully equipped" there, or "perfectly joined together," is a form of the word artizo. Do you remember the word artizo? Yeah. In 2 Timothy, where it talks about how we are to be fully equipped unto every good work. Well, that's what it's talking about here. We're to be fully equipped. Let's go to back to Romans chapter 13. Chapter 13 of Romans and verse 8. Again, you know, it's a continuation from chapter 12 and about how we operate within the body of Christ. And in verse 8 it says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another." And to owe means not to be indebted. We're not to be indebted to anybody for anything. That's what it really means. It's not just financial. But, you know, like people say, "You scratch my back, I scratch your back," you know, that kind of thing. Or, you know, you ever see in the movies the bad guys, you know, somebody's in trouble and they go to the local gangster and he says, "Yeah, well, I'll take care of it for you, but I may call in a favor sometime in the future." You know, we're not to be indebted to any man for anything. We're not to go there. I mean, that's maybe a far-fetched illustration, but it says we are not to be indebted to any man for anything, but to love one another. That's our obligation, is to love one another. And again, it's talking about within the body of Christ, we are to love one another. "For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law." The what law? The Mosaic law. You know, Jesus Christ talked about it, was the fulfilling of the law. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love thy neighbor as thyself. On this hang all the law and the prophets. Right? So it's the fulfilling of the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. If there be any commandment, it is briefly comprehended this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, all these things are pretty rampant in our culture and society today. Some of them are even championed. You know, they're like, oh, well, we got to do this, we got to do that. Love worketh no ill or evil to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Well, that's pretty straightforward and simple, isn't it? Pretty simple. It's the fulfilling of the law. If we would go to, hold your place here, I guess, and go to Leviticus 19. Everybody loves Leviticus. God bless you. Actually, Leviticus is, if you take the time, it's pretty cool, some of it. Some of the things in the law, you know, are very practical. You know, now you have to understand the law. There's different parts to it. And so some of the things may still apply to us. You know, if you go through the Ten Commandments, well, they really all apply to us still, with the exception maybe of keeping the Sabbath day. But, you know, we're not supposed to put any god before God. We're not supposed to have idols. We're not supposed to kill people or murder people. We're not supposed to, you know, and that's what it said in chapter 9, what we just read in Romans, right? It said, you know, you do all these things. Love is fulfilling. If you're loving, you're not going to do those things. Okay. So in chapter 19 of Leviticus, verse 15, ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Ye shall not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. That means you don't give deference to somebody because they're poor, nor do you give any special honor to somebody because they're rich or famous or great. You know, in other words, we're not to be respecter of persons because of anything. Nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness thou shalt thou judge thy neighbor. In other words, we look at people according to God's word, righteousness, justice. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. We use that phraseology all the time, right? It means we're not to slander people. We're not to tell stories about them, not gossip. Neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. And that simply means you don't cause your neighbor harm. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and suffer sin upon him. If you see your neighbor doing something, it's your responsibility to reprove him according to the word. And so that they don't suffer sin. They don't have to endure sin. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. So, you know, there it is. Love thy neighbor as thyself. So everything is based on love. You know, if you love, you don't have to worry about the law. You don't have to worry about sin. You don't have to worry about condemnation. You don't have to worry about any of those things if you're walking in love. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Makes life a lot simpler. Chapter 2 of Philippians, verse 1. If there be any consolation in Christ, sure. If any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. One accord here is the word sum sukos in Greek. It means same-souled. Same-souled. Or with souls together. Used to refer to harmony in life, to be united in purpose and in thinking. That's what it really is talking about. So, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, having the same thoughts. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Strife is causing division, and vainglory is conceit. So we're not to be doing things because of ego, and we're not doing things because we want to cause division. But in lowliness of mind, let us each esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And you know, the great example of Jesus Christ, again, was that he was selfless, right? He was our example of walking in love. He was selfless. He wasn't looking to amass an empire. God promised him the kingdom, but he wasn't looking to amass an empire or rule over people in the respect of the world, was he? He was looking to heal people and bring people to God and to destroy the works of the devil. Those were his purposes, to heal the blind and to release the captive from bondage and things like that. That's what he was doing. He was selfless. So it says here, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And the real mind in Christ Jesus was God first. I want to do what God wants me to do, not what I want to do. I want to glorify God in everything by obeying him and doing what he tells me to do. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, meaning, you know, he was God's son and so on. So we're to think like Jesus Christ. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And verse 3. I think I want to be in 2 Thessalonians, but let me check. Yeah, chapter 3. Chapter 1 of 2 Thessalonians, sorry. Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, says, we are bound, we are obligated to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet or adequate or necessary, because that your faith or believing groweth exceedingly, and the charity, the love of God, of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith or believing in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. You know, no matter what they did, they were loving each other and they were believing the word. And they had to deal with persecutions. They had to deal with difficulties at times. Just like, you know, the world hasn't changed at all, has it? You know, there's still always difficulties, there's persecutions, there's problems, there's, you know, but we just continue to move forward believing God and loving God. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So remember, this is all about us loving each other and how we deal with each other. And chapter 12. Verse 12, it says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. You know, there are many references in the Word of God to the church. And the most prominent and the most common is the body of Christ. There are illustrations of marriage that talk about the church, but the church is not the bride of Christ. but it uses the illustration of the relationship of a husband and wife to describe some things in the church. But it's not the main thing. And then it's talked about as the temple, right? We are all members in the temple. The individual is a tabernacle, but the church is the temple. And we are the temple when we come together. So, for the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. And the illustration is what? A human body, okay? Well, we're not a human body, but that's the illustration so that we can understand it. It's a physical body. But it's us, the church, is a spiritual body. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So we're all, you know, no matter where we came from, no matter what we are, no matter what we were, we're now part of the body of Christ, and we all have the same Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. You know, it's not just one person. It's not just one type of person, or it's many. If the foot shall say, because I am not of the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Kind of reminds me of when I was a kid, Little League, you know, and some kids, well, if I can't be the shortstop or I can't be the pitcher, I'm not playing, you know, that kind of attitude. You know, if I can't teach every week, then I'm not going to be part of the body of Christ. If I can't get up and sing in front of everybody, then I don't want to be part of it. I want to be the star. That's not how it works, is it? It's what God tells us to do and how we are. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not the body, is it therefore not of the body? It doesn't matter what you say or what you do. Once you're born again, you're still part of the body, right? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if all were one member, where were the body? But now are there many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. Nay, much more are those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism, no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And that care is that we should love one another, right? And help one another and bless one another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. For one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. We're all necessary and we're all members one of another. We all need each other. Whether we think we do or we don't. Pretty wild. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll close there. Of course, Ephesians 4 leads up to where we started, Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, that we are to be followers of God as dear children. God is love. We're to love with God's love in our heart, and we're to be walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. Then Ephesians 4, verse 14, it says, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You know, children are what? Well, they're kind of capricious. They change their minds continually. One second they're happy, and the next second they're crying, and the next second they're happy again. You know, they get talked into and out of things continually. You know, we're not to be like children, you know. And like I said before, you know, if a kid can't get his way, well, I don't want to be part of things, right? Oh, I'm not playing in that game with you guys because I don't get to do this or I don't get to do that. That's not the way the body of Christ is supposed to be. We're to look to see how we can contribute, how we can be part, how we can love and bless each other. And then it says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted or knit together by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And the more we contribute, the more we edify the body in love, which not only blesses the body, but it blesses us back, right? Because as the body gets stronger, the parts get stronger. And as the parts are stronger, the whole is stronger. You know, it just works together in every way. So we are to walk in love towards each other. We're to take care of one another. We're to love one another. So, amen and amen. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for blessing us and loving us. We thank you for what a great and mighty God you are and how you have called us to this body and your family, and that we can just enjoy the riches and the glory of being your children, and how we look forward to eternity with you and your Son, Jesus Christ. So we thank you for these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.